The network marketing industry has changed dramatically in the last decade. With the advent of social media, digital marketing, the rise of the influencer, and all the tech platforms that promise something extraordinary, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? Welcome to Beyond the Network Marketing Dream, where authenticity and relationships, simplicity and duplication are at the core of everything we focus on. The fundamentals of building still work. Join us as we go beyond the network marketing dream.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back. Excited to be with Nancy Tobler. Nancy, glad we finally got on the podcast together. And you've got quite a background working with companies on really focusing on the commission side of things, which always perks everybody's ears up. You're from MLM-CC, which is compensation consulting. And I know your brother. I've met him a few times, and I know you guys are partners. So it's just great to have you on today.
Great. Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy, like you say, we finally connected. Had a few misses, but we're back.
So it really does perk people's ears up. And a lot of times it is amazing how often I'm not sure that it's as true as people believe it is. And it seems like everybody in network marketing talks about the compensation plan is either good or bad. And it doesn't seem like there's any middle ground.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's quite as black and white as they make it out to be. But nonetheless, it certainly gets people's attention. That's what you built your career around. Is that right? Can you tell us a little bit about that and your experiences?
Yeah. So I started working with Mark Rollins in 1999, and he would hire me to do projects with his company, which at that time was InfoTrack Systems, and they do compensation engines, right? Commission engines. So they'll write the comp plan and then they'll run your data through it and pay your checks. So I have since 1999, worked on some specific analytics projects, which I really like. That's my favorite thing to do, is to look at numbers and see what they say. But I've done other things. Mark owns MLM.com, and I've been the editor for MLM.com and interviewed people just like you're interviewing me right now, and written articles. I have 70 articles, I think, on MLM.com.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. So...
And most of those articles, are they focused on compensation?
I have done a wide range of things. So I've looked at the industry. One of my favorites is top women leaders in the industry. And we just looked at some that we liked, that we love what they do and how they approach the business. Anyway, so yeah, I've done quite a few companies where I have looked at their data, right? So we take their data, and they don't have to be InfoTrack clients to do this. They just put their data securely into a box folder, and then we download that data onto a secure server.
So tell me, what are the things, the primary things that you're looking for in a well-balanced compensation plan? And maybe even, what do you most often see as off? Like, where are the struggles? Where are their gaps for most companies that you work with?
So a good compensation plan should reward the behaviors you want, right? And lots of times people can't tell me what behaviors they think this particular bonus rewards. So we can say, okay, well, here's who it rewards. Here's what rank they are, and here's what they've done in terms of recruiting, and we can tell them that kind of thing. And then we say, is that who you thought you were going to reward, right? So sometimes people just are surprised by what their own data actually tells them. I can also tell them how they compare to the industry, right? So for example, 70% of distributors never sponsor anyone. Well, that really means that 70% you bring in are really customers. Should you be treating them as customers? The FTC is so big on that now. Should you be doing that instead of treating them as distributors? And another one that surprises people is I do an analysis where I look and see at what check level, how much money do you have to make to stick around, right? What's the sticking point? And across companies, it always surprises me how consistent it is, but people need to make between $200 to $500. And about once they do, 80% of those people will buy for the next 6 months. So it's not as much as companies think they got to have big checks. Mm-hmm. Of course, big checks, those people never leave. Well, or rarely, they do leave, but rarely do they leave if they're making good money. But what about, how do you keep the mid-level people? And how do you keep those that are just getting started? those are some kinds of things that we can tell.
And that 2 to 500, do you consider that mid-level? Or you're talking about mid-level being that 2 to 3,000 more?
Yeah, so mid-level really is more like 2,000 to 10,000. Those are your mid-level distributors that are on their way up usually, or down. They could be on their way down. And we can tell them that. That these people over the past 3 months have enrolled or haven't enrolled. So they're up or they're on their way down. Yeah. I think
you see patterns. It's interesting, right? So with so many changes in the network marketing industry, particularly around influencers, social media.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of jumping from one company to another, comp plans that are much shallower. Would you agree with that? And then how are you seeing the comp plans change or companies' interest in designing comp plans differently? Are you seeing them adjust to that?
Yeah. Yeah. So affiliate, that's the big word. Ready says we want an affiliate comp plan. Sometimes my definition of affiliate and their definition of affiliate is not the same. But in general, I would say an affiliate comp plan pays down fewer levels and pays more to the person who makes the sale. So I've always said you've got party plan companies where you make money by selling the product. That's sort of where people are going, right? You got to have customers and you've got to pay a good amount on those customers. But yeah, we see lots of people who that's really what they want, a shallow comp plan now. But there's always this nagging feeling that they've got to have some big checks somehow, or else how are they going to get people to stay? I think in network marketing, it's more likely a micro social influencer, right? Where they have a couple of hundred people, not a million, right? If you had a million people in your following, then you could sell 10% to those people. 10% of the people buy, you're making a good check, right? So if people want social influencers and they want to recruit those social influencers, it's not super clear to me how they're finding them and how they're recruiting them.
I mean, I've got my opinions on all this. I think it's super dangerous, but I'm curious if you're seeing a pattern, like when you see these companies that develop a shallower comp plan, because structure drives behavior, incentives drive behavior. I mean, it's been said forever. Warren Buffett preaches it. It's true in every business. Do you see repercussions from that where it's causing the instability so often that leaders don't like, companies don't like, they don't want to see people jumping all around so much? Are you seeing that as a pattern?
I have not looked at that. That's a great question. And I think that you're probably right that social influencers, by their nature, if you're going to get a big social influence, a macro social influencer, they're by their nature going to be involved in multiple companies. That's just how they are, right? They've got 100,000 people in their downline. They're not just selling for you. So how do you deal with that? I haven't seen companies. There are some pretty big name companies that have gone to an affiliate. They doubled their comp plan. They do an affiliate model, the regular model, right? Nature Sunshine did one 2 or 3 years ago. It'd be interesting to look and see how they've done with the affiliates. I think there's a market out there for people who don't want to do MLM. And tapping into that market is huge. It's potentially very big. So it may be that you don't have to worry if those people who will do an affiliate would never have done a traditional MLM. So you don't have to worry. They're not the same people. It's not the same Venn diagram, right? You've got two hoops there or two circles there that don't touch. So I think it's an interesting phenomenon. I think it's good for the industry to think about customers first. I think the Herbalife case and the Vima case just really changed the space, right? Have to think about customers. I like how Melaleuca approaches that, right? Everybody comes in as a customer and you have to recruit someone to move into a distributorship. So that 70% of people who never sponsor stay customers because they've never recruited anyone. Right. So they can't be a distributor. So I think there are some things companies can do that will look better in the FTC's eyes, right? It's unclear to me if exactly what the FTC is looking for. Surprise! The FTC.
Well, probably because they're not super clear. But that's a great point you make. I mean, designing it so it protects you from that. If somebody has to recruit somebody to initiate their distributor position, boom, you're good.
Yeah. And I don't know that you have to have 70% customers. I think Vima, they had to have 51% customers. And they tried to tell the FTC that these people who didn't sponsor were actually customers, even though it said distributor, and the FTC didn't buy that. They said, no, they have to be listed as customers. So companies, I think, need to think about how to reward people for bringing in customers. I don't think it's something, I feel like the industry has always been bring everybody in as a distributor and then some of them will stick, right? Just throw everybody at the distributor wall and some of them, 30%, are going to do something. And I think that we have to shift and say, no, bring them in as customers, nurture them. It's maybe a little more than people wanted to do. Nurture them and see which ones blossom into distributors. And then
with companies focusing on retail and leading with the product, I've seen a little bit of a pattern where more and more companies are thinking to themselves from an enterprise perspective that they can sell direct to the customer. Now they get into a slippery slope. Are they violating trust with the field of distributors? How do they sell direct to the customer? Do you see a pattern? Do you give them advice? What are your thoughts on that?
Boy, so I'm thinking of a company out of St. George that said, oh, we could make a lot more money if we just sold directly to this customer base. Then they were out of business. I don't know how long it was. It wasn't very long, 6 months, 8 months, a year, maybe. Distributors in MLM provide valuable source, right? Are your connection to the customer. You aren't there, the connection to the customer. They are. And if they badmouth you, you've got a problem. You've got a big problem. And if you stop paying them, are they going to just very happily say, oh, sure, keep buying the product. We don't care. No, they're going to say, no, these people screwed us out of. They're not good to work with. Don't buy from them. Buy from here, which is someplace where they went after. I cannot remember the name of that company.
Just that fast. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there are consequences.
It's been interesting to watch AdvoCare. That's been an interesting one, right? Went to one level and they've survived. I'm surprised. I was sure that the doors would close, but they must have really, I don't know. I haven't done anything for them, but they must have really swooped in and taken care of customers. They just must have, because that's where people make their money now.
Or the field was so driven towards retail already and the numbers were dismal that making the shift didn't hurt them that bad, because the real builders who like depth, momentum, all of that were basically gone.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, so anyway, I think AdvoCare is a lesson in you don't have to pay a lot of levels to keep. You can pay the people who are selling the product a little bit more, get more people to that $200 to $500.
And what was Avon, did they do specifically that has caused them the grief?
I don't know. I don't know why. Well, in some ways, they are a model of adaptation, right? Mm-hmm. They've survived so long, right? 100 years or 120 years, right? They have survived forever. So in some ways, they have just figured out we have to adapt, and they adapt and move on. I don't know what they've done. What do you think they've done?
Well, I just heard a lot about them changing their structure, but I don't know. I wouldn't know enough to even restate it with certainty, except that they changed the model. It was more of a direct sales model.
They did go to almost every company that was a direct sales model. The Mary Kay, Pampered Chef, Tupperware, Avon, all of those added an MLM component. All of them did. And Amway made it big and they got people such big checks. The direct sales companies that were product focused had to do something to get some depth in there. So all of them made the shift, but I don't think all of them have had the struggles that Avon have had.
I think it was this social media world, and I attended a big event in the network marketing world, and I was amazed by the number of people that were training social media, digital marketing kind of strategies.
Yeah.
Almost to the degree that if I were to join their organization, I'm like, you mean I have to become a digital marketing expert and then I can participate in network marketing? And I think some organizations have forgotten the power of the people and the power of the relationship that cuts through so much of the digital noise that is becoming more expensive, more competitive than ever before that digital space, which provides a unique opportunity for network marketing, especially when the comp plans are designed properly to leverage what people in relationships bring to the table.
Yeah, I think it's still, money matters. I think that's where I spend my time, looking at how money gets paid out. Mm-hmm. I think it's still, people have to remember it's a relationship business, right? Mm-hmm. Is about me making a recommendation about a product and supporting you as you use that product and talking to you about it and comparing stories. That has incredible power, right? That's what has made the direct sales industry work for 100 years as it is, right? It's people making recommendations to other people. Even those party plan companies still use the power of others, right? You went to a Tupperware party.
Right.
It was your friends who said, oh, I use that piece of Tupperware all the time. This is what I do in it. They're like, oh my God, I never even thought of that, right? So...
Right. And Nancy, when do organizations usually reach out and get in touch with you? What is the identifier that makes them go, we have some problems with our comp plan? Is it the field screaming? Is it them just not seeing the momentum? How does that usually come about?
When companies are losing money, right? When they're on their way down, and that's a natural part of growing, right? Network marketing companies tend to grow quickly. And then you've got some straw built into your house and it's going to break away and you got to stand on the wood bricks. So sometimes that will be, or their margins are too thin and they can't keep paying out the amount they're paying out. They've squeaked by on their payout for a long time, but now the economy is such that they need to either raise their prices or cut how much they're paying. So those kinds of things they'll come to us for. They'll come when big distributors say, we need to do this.
Yeah.
And then they'll go, what do you guys think of this? Whatever this is, right? Some weird...
Is there a range of payout? You hear just such a range in the marketplace of companies saying, we pay out 110%, which doesn't make
it.
It's not possible. So they're lying. But where is that range that is reasonable for a company? And I imagine it varies whether they're providing education, training versus a real hard product. But is there a range in there generally that you find is proper?
And I like to say it's right around 42 to 45% of commissionable volume.
That's very tight.
It's right in there. Some of the big companies pay less than that. And all of them will tell you they pay more than that.
But there's breakage and everything else. And when it's all really said and done,
what do you actually
pay? 42 to 45%.
Right. Well, and they make a fake number, right? They say, this is the number we're paying a percent of, but that's not really the number. So that's how they can say 110%. They make up a number that they're paying on, and the product is twice that, or it's twice the price of the product. And I've seen some really weird things. So people, I always like to say 40, you pay 50% of what? What are you paying 50% of? That's the question, because we have to have a universal number that we can compare across companies. So like I say, I always go, what is that exactly you're paying?
And is that what the comp plan is designed to pay out, or does that factor in breakage? Like the distributor resigned and the money doesn't flow up, but the comp plan suggests... all those factors. So when you say that 42 to 45%, is that real hard dollars? Is that?
Yeah. And it's pretty consistent when we look at companies. Some companies like a doTERRA, their product margins are so big, they can pay out a little higher. Whereas somebody who's got, I don't know, a makeup product that's new and hot and it's expensive to make, then they just have to pay out less on it. And sometimes you can just do that by product. You can say, on this product, we'll pay this amount. On this product, we'll pay that amount. So companies do that as well.
I asked you this early on a little bit, but is it as simple as when designing a plan, new people, you got to get them off to a quick start. Then you've got to pay them enough, that $200 to $500, that they can progress through the comp plan. And then you design that middle, higher tier, and then a few big stories in there. Is it as simple as trying to find balance? Or is it really, this is who we target, and that audience is interested in this, and so we're going to put 70% of our comp plan towards this level?
Yeah. So, I mean, there are some companies, surprising companies, that are looking at doing a multi-level component that have never done a multi-level component. So that always surprises me. I'm saying, okay, so who are we recruiting? Who are these people that are going to walk through the door that you're going to pay just three levels on? Then most of those new companies that have been doing business another way don't want a big, deep plan. They want an affiliate model.
Yeah.
So I can't remember the original question now.
No, just how do you design that? Or do they come to you?
Yeah, you really have to think through, right? And are you going to do something for the founding members? That's always a good question to ask companies. What about the people you are willing to go out and knock on doors and hold meetings in hotels and really get belly to belly, you like to say in this business? And you got to, like I say, even if you're doing an affiliate marketing, if you think you're going to bring in some big MLM people, then you've got to have some big checks. There just has to be a way to make a big check. They don't usually come from a company where they're making a big check to make a small check.
Because people are still looking for the dream of freedom and flexibility, I assume.
Yeah.
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 Well, Nancy, if I'm a leader in a company and I'm trying to get some help with my compensation plan, how do people reach you?
They can send me an email at nancyt@mlm.com. It's that simple. Nancy T. nancyt@mlm.com.
That's awesome. And then I found, which tells you what a geek I am about some of this stuff, I found your brother's book. He was actually came into a company and you guys did consulting with them. And this has got to be 10 plus years ago,
maybe
15. But I found that book interesting. Is that worth mentioning to people that are interested in designing of comp plans?
Right. And if they want to just read Mark's book, they can send me an email and I'll send them an e-link. Or if they want a physical copy, I'll send them a physical copy. It's From Commission Plan to Compensation Strategy by Mark Rollins. And I'd be happy to give them the book. And most of what I know about MLM is because I've worked with Mark. So
right.
He kind of got me into it and has been my mentor through all of this. I mean, I've done a lot of analyses for companies. He hasn't looked at their data, but we've also done a lot of analyses together, he and I. So,
well, that's awesome. Well, Nancy, it's been so great having you on the show.
Okay, thank you. It's great to meet you. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Network Marketing Dream with Patrick Shaw. For more insights on building a solid networking business, visit our website at rapidfunnel.com/MLM. If you loved our content, please share, like, and subscribe. We look forward to seeing you in the next episode.